All right. But okay, we'll begin now. We'll get to it. All right, so the topic here is balancing the sitter with our personal bakashos. And certainly, tefillah is always of the utmost importance, and especially nowadays with the Eis Tzara, we're looking to add appropriately so, and different kehilos, different yeshivos have different minhagim in terms of Avinu Malkeinu, when to add it, how frequently, Mishaberach, Tehillim, there's no question we're adding tefillos towards for the situation in Eretz Yisrael. But the ikr of our tefillah is undoubtedly the Shemona Esrei. And within that, I feel, and I'm sure many others feel as well, that we want to add something beyond the specific text of the Shemona Esrei to connect us to the Tzara in Eretz Yisrael. There are many specific things that we could be davening for that you know, although Sim Shalom, you ask for peace, you know, Esamach David, we want Mashiach, broadly speaking, yes. But there are more specific things we feel. And there's a way and an appropriate way to ask for those, and then even beyond Eretz Yisrael in our own lives. So what I want to show here today is really two different points. My main point is a hashkafic debate between the Gedolei Olam or Gedolei Mesorah in terms of how they view this balancing act between the sitter and our personal bakashas, almost like what is the ikr, what is the focus, what should we be working on, should we be working on just making the sitter more meaningful to us, or is the better approach finding personal things to daven for, like what takes precedence, and I think we'll see that pretty clearly from, like I said, our Gedolei Mesorah. And then the other one is a much simpler question, a halachic question, and that is how does one actually go about adding in personal bakashos to their tefillah? So I structured the shiur in terms of the halachic question. There are three different ways to add in personal bakashos to your tefillah, but as we go through the shitos and seeing how to do that, I think the hashkafic point is going to be very clear, come to fore, in terms of how the Gedolei Olam view this idea of adding in bakashos. Okay, so we'll just begin. We're not going to see everything inside. We might not see everything at all, but we'll see what we can see. So just the first source in Kadesh, Tiskabel, Kadesh Shalim. So the Chazan says, whoever's in Kadesh says, Tiskabel, Tzoloson, Uva Usan. To please accept our Tzali. Tzali is our Tzvila. Tzali is a terminology in Aramaic that Gemara used for Tzvila, for davening. Uva Usan, like from Ba'i, a need, a request, is a personal supplication. So there's no question. We say, Hashem, please accept our Tzvilos and also accept our personal supplication. So there's no question that there is. That's not a debate. That's not a shir. Are we supposed to add in personal bakashos? The answer is definitively yes. We're supposed to. The question is more how. So like I said, there are those who favor the sitter. And really, that's a shir unto itself. Why we have a sitter. Why we have specific times we have to daven. Like, why can't it just be what I'm feeling? Why can't it all just be personal? But there is an idea of the sitter. And the basic concept is that this was a text given to us by the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. The Gemara in source number 2, Maseches Megillah, tells us that the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, who lived in the era of the beginning of the second Beis HaMikdash, among them were Nevi'im. Nevi'im, who literally heard from God, were the ones to make the text of the Siddur. So they understand, you know, it's like the oldest mashal in the book, somebody's going in for a big business meeting, you have a big interview or something like that, so, you know, you have your opportunity to impress the person, to ask the person. The best thing you can do is to go to somebody who's really close to them, you know, their business partner, their former partner, who knows, like, what's going to impress them. Like, you think this is going to be the most impressive thing. Like, really, you didn't even realize that just, like, totally, you know, nixed you from the job. Like, I thought I was saying a good thing. Yeah, you're saying the worst thing possible. So, or vice versa. So to go to people who actually understand how to engage, encounter with this person. So, lahavdil, that's what Chazal gave us. Like, this is the correct and most optimal way to engage with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, follow our texts, follow our lead, go with that. That's way better than anything in your, you know, limited mind you can come up with. So that is the opinion of those who support, I would say, the making the ikr the sitter. And again, there are those who say, no, the ikr is the kavana that comes from our personal bakashos. Okay, so let's start with a halakha question. Like I said, everything else is gonna come out from there. So there are three different approaches in terms of how one can add personal bakashos into their Shemona Esrei. So option number one, and I would say is the least common among you guys, get a show by show of hands after if you want to tell me, but that is what the Shulchan Aruch says in source number 3, and that is adding in personal bakashos to each and every bracha in the middle of Shemona Esrei. Im ratza lahosif, says the Shulchan Aruch, im ratza lahosif bechol habrachos meha imtzais, if someone wants to add to any of the middle brachos, me'ein habracha, it has to be relevant to the bracha you're saying, mosif, you're allowed to add. And then he gives an example, ketzad If a person has a chola, so they should add for ask for rachmim in the bracha b'rifa'inu. If you need parnasa, you should ask for it in barich aleinu, so on and so forth. The Mishnah Berurah in source number 4, in the second half of source number 4, I'll just say outside, he gives other examples. He says if somebody needs wisdom, right? I feel like that's more if you have a test coming up that day for students or a big presentation you have to give. You just want to sound smart. You want to remember things clearly. He said you ask for das in the bracha of Kohen Hadas. If somebody sinned and they want to ask for slichu mechila, you don't wait for Ella. You don't wait for Yom Kippur. In the end of source number 4, the Mishnah Berurah says v'omrim slichos be'emtza bircha slachlanu. You say the slichos in the middle of the bracha of slachlanu. So this is the first option. It's the first approach of literally adding in personal bakashos into the middle of each of the specific brachos in Shmona Esrei.
With your actual mouth,
saying real words in English, that's okay. That's your latte davin in Belaz. As long as you do it in the proper way. So one qualification here is it has to be me'ain the bracha. You can't ask for a parnasa in the middle of rifa'ina. I mean, that wouldn't make sense, but can't do that. It has to be me'ain the bracha. And there's some flexibility. Very interestingly, I gave the shir yesterday, and one of the rabbein there said that he, I mentioned the drasha. You know, some people are in shiduchim for a while. Not bragging or anything, but so he said he was also dating for a long time, and one of his rabbeim told him that the appropriate place to ask for success in a shidduch is in Mekabez Nitchem Yisrael, to ingather together the people of Eretz Yisrael. Usually it's a bracha of ingathering of exile that we should make it back to Eretz Yisrael. He said there's an element there of bringing together people of the Jewish people. That's where you ask for a shidduch. So you find the bracha that it's appropriate to, and you ask in that bracha, but 100% you ask in the middle with the actual words. So the Ramah, and this is building off Sam's question here, the Ramah in source number 3 says, Ukishuhu Mosif, and when you make this addition, Yaschil bebracha v'acharkach Mosif. You have to start saying the bracha and only then make the insertion. Avalo Yosef acharkach yaschil bracha. You cannot, for example, Atachoni adam da'as, Hashem, please, I have this big presentation today. Please let me, sound smart, actually be smart, remember. Thank you very much. You can't do it like that. You have to first start the bracha, and the Mishnah Berurah says, you say like a full sentence of the bracha. You don't just say ata, and then, no, ata chonel adam da'as, pause, and then you put in your insertion. That is literally what we do in what bracha? Rifa'enu. We do that in Rifa'enu. We say Rifa'enu Hashem, and we say like a full clause, and then there's actually like in most Sidurim, the Yihirat and the special personal tefillah that we insert. Then that would be the correct way of inserting it inside the actual bracha. I want to show you what the Mishnah Berurah says here, why that is true, and that is the first of our hashkafic approaches I want to highlight here. Source number 4 in the bold. Why is it that that has to be the order, that you have to start with saying the bracha of Chazal and then add in your tefillah? Titzarech lasos ikr mimatpeya shetavu chachamim. You have to make the ikr the language of Chazal. Uvakasha shalo, and your bakasha, tihiyat tefillah, v'lo lehefech. It has to be the tafel, not the opposite. And I think the Mishnah Berurah is making, like I said, a much bigger than just a halachic point here, that your focus, your perspective on the tefillah, no matter how important your personal words are to you, never forget that the ikar are the words of Chazal. Again, for whatever reason, they were Nevi'im, they were Chachamim, they understood what had to be said. We're like that person, asking the wrong questions. But, I gave the example yesterday to the kids, you get into your high school, you go to MTA, my alma mater, and first day number 1, you're given you're picked out of a raffle, you get to meet with the head of school. Any 3 questions, he will grant you those requests. And a kid comes in there, why is your mascot a lion? Can I be on the, get a 4.0 GPA? The best questions, if you would have spoken to somebody, I need this Rebbe. I'm sure they're all great Rebbe. Something that's actually going to be meaningful for you. So that the Mishnah Berurah is saying, never forget that the Iker is what Chazal give to us. And we highlight that by saying, even when you want to add in a personal bakasha, it has to be, in the context of their bracha. So that is the approach number 1. And already we see a broader point by the Mishnah Berurah here in terms of the ikar being the brachos of Chazal. Just interestingly, before we go to option number 2, the Gemara, interesting comment of the Ran. The Gemara in source number 5, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah tells us that really this is the way it should be done. The Gemara says, "Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Ashi Amar Rav, Afal Pisha Amru Shoa Adam Tzracha B'Shomei Tzvila." Even though we'll get to option number 2, a person is allowed to ask their brachos in Shomei Tzvila. In Yesh Lo Chola B'Sof Peso, Omer BeBirchas Cholim. V'Im Tzarech Parnasa, Omer BeBirchas Hashanim. you're supposed to add your bracha in the correct, in the appropriate bracha that's relevant to that bakasha. The Ran says there, she'ino rashai lahamtin at shemei tefila. You're not allowed to wait for shemei tefila to ask for refuah rather than putting it in refa'inu. You're not allowed to wait for parnasa rather than saying it in barei chalinu. I like to think of the mashal like in terms of hilchos brachos. So everybody made, you know, probably a hamotzi this morning. But if you had a cookie, you'd make a mizonos. If somebody doesn't know the bracha on an item, you can make a shahakal. Shahakal covers everything. Shahakol niyab v'vero. Everything is God. That works for any food you're eating. But the better thing to do is to make the appropriate bracha to that, you know, ha'etz on a grape. So that's like here, like, the best thing to do is to say the bracha in its appropriate time. Okay, the backup option is to say in shomea tzvila. So that is option number one. Now we're going to shift to option number two, and I think we're going to see why that's a much more common option than what people, than the notion of adding it in the middle of the brachos. Okay, so the second option, I think much more famously, is what the Shulchan Aruch says in source number seven, uveshomea tzvila yachol lishol kol tzrachav, koleles kol habakashas. In shomea tzvila, you can ask for all of your needs, because this includes everything. This is the shahakol of Shmona Esrei. I want to read to you the words of the Yaros Midvash, the Yaros Dvash of Rav Yonasan Abshitz. So, so powerful, and really doesn't mean much more of an explanation other than the words in themselves. He says, Rav Yonasan Abshitz, Bebircha Shema Kolenu, Bo Yasim Kol Magamos of LaHashem. In the Bracha Shema Kolenu, you pour out all of your problems to Hashem. Lihispalo Al Kol Tzrachav, Afilu Davar Katan, even something small. O Gadol, obviously. Lo Yivtzar Davar Ma, Shalol Lispalo Bo LaHashem. There is nothing you shouldn't daven for. And he goes on to say, Im Tzarech Laso Shidduch, that's a small thing. If you need a Shidduch, for yourself or your children, you daven to Hashem. Lischora, for business, you daven to Hashem. In the bold, klalo shel davar, ein davar mash, yiritzono lasos bo bayom. There's nothing that you're going to want to do that day. Mash lo yispal l'Hashem latzicho. That you shouldn't be davening to Hashem for success. You know, my student last week asked me, should I be davening that I play well in my basketball game? I said, 100%. That means something to you, that matters to you, you daven to Hashem. All right, there's we could have a higher value system. That just speaks to who we are at the time. You know, a 10th grader, that's where he's thinking, okay, like, of all the things he'd be diving for, he didn't say, you know, can I dive in to get that girl? To win the basketball game. Like, even for him, it's like a higher madriga. But, okay, Ravar Lampiansky, I heard this story that, you know, he was the Rosh Yeshiva in Greater Washington. So an 8th grader once came to him, and he said, I guess, I don't know, Washington, I thought they would have been Commanders fans, but I guess he was a Ravens fan. He said, or maybe he was visiting Baltimore. He said, he approached him, and he asked, is it appropriate for me to dive in for the Ravens to win tonight? And he's like, that's fine. He's like, I'm just surprised to know that. That's amazing to hear that everyone, there's no cholim, you know, nobody needs a shidduch, nobody needs parnasa. Again, he's an eighth grader. So like, I think, you know, we got to be realistic, but anything is relevant to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is appropriate to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Maybe it bespeaks our value system, but that's what Rav Yonasan Abshitz here is saying. He continues, here you go. He continues in, oh, you got it, okay. He continues in the second paragraph, and he explains the reason why, and this is what I want to get to. Let's go to the second to last line after the three dots. You know, I'll say it outside for the sake of time. He says, the reason why this is so important, he says, is because the ikar of tefillah is kavana. If a person is just going to say the same brachos every day, it's possible that they could say it by rote. If anybody's ever been there, that like you finish benching or you finish one esrei, like, did I just daven? Did I say yal v'yavo? Like, you just say it automatically. If you are asking for a personal bakasha, by definition, you have to think about what you're saying, unless you ask for the same thing every day, and that becomes by rote, which you also shouldn't do. But you have to think about what you're saying because it's something new. It's something that's actual and real to you. And therefore, the Yaris Midvash ends, the second to last line of the end, he says, "The imkain yotze yidei tefila gemura ki zehu ikar hatefila." This is the ikar hatefila, haba me'imkei alev, which comes from the depths of your heart. So I underline that line, kizeu me'ikar hatefila. And to me, I think that is he's making a different point than the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah says that the ikar is the matbeah shetavu chachamim. The ikar are the words that the chachamim gave to us. Whereas the Yaris Dvash is saying, no, the ikar is having kavana. And if you're going to have more kavana through your personal tefilos, he says you should make sure to add in personal tefilos every day, just to make sure that you're yotze tefila. Just to make sure that you're yotze having an actual tefila that comes me'im kehalev. So I think this is already one level of debate we're seeing between the Mishnah Berurah, the Yaris Dvash, in terms of the ikar being the matveya of the text of the Siddur, versus the fact that you know, we have kavana in our personal tefilos. Of course, halavai, the best, would be having kavana for the text of the Siddur. But realistically, people tend to connect more to more personal bakashas. Okay, going to say this next part outside as well, but there is another machlokas. I heard this in a shiur from Rav Ari Leibowitz, who people can catch by the second of his shiur, sure. If they go to B'nai Shurim right after this. So he spoke about a shiur and machlokas between Rav Moshe Feinstein and the Kloisenberger Rebbe, which is a different machlokas, but in my opinion, really the same exact concept. And that is, again, it's a slightly different point, not how you add in personal bakashas, like full-fledged requests from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but is it appropriate in the middle of davening to add in like phrases in English and Yiddish, in his case it was Yiddish, that just, you know, help like, you know, get you there and build up that connection. In the middle of tefillah, oh, Ribbono Shel Olam, oh, Heilig Rabbeinu Tati and him, like saying things like that, that, you know, it's like you pump yourself up a little bit. You make it more of a real conversation. Is that appropriate? Rav Asher Weiss, who I'm sure we all know, was one of the Talmidim Muhakim of the Kloisenberger Rebbe. The Kloisenberger Rebbe, who was like a superhero, you know, my mind, like, you know, he's one of like the, I don't know, maybe it was the age that I heard about him or read about him or the biography, but, you know, very, very special person. He survived the Holocaust. You know, he says that he doesn't think he ever ate treif. He never, even though he spent over a year in Auschwitz, he has a story. The first day he got there, it was after 2-3 days on the train. He was basically starving. He gets off, it's Erev Shabbos. They bring out this meat, which is like dog food, but obviously wasn't kosher. And he said, I'm not eating it. He told everybody else to eat. You know, you guys, it's pikuach nefesh, but he couldn't bring himself to eat non-kosher. And he's starving, and the next day is Shabbos, and he's continuing, you know, basically feels like it's the end. And he's in his barracks, and he's just withering away. And all of a sudden, there's a knock on the door. Someone's there, and they ask, you know, tell that person to come. And he comes to the front, and he says, are you the Kloisenberger Rebbe? And he was nervous. That usually meant they're looking for the Rebbe's to kill them right away. But he figured at that point, you know, it was probably over. And he said, yes. He said, yes, I'm the Kloisenberger Rebbe. He's like, okay, wait here. And he said, he leaves. He comes back 5 minutes later with a plate of bread and jam. And he said, there's a YouTube video. He's talking to Beis Yaakov telling this story. And in like the 80s. And he said, if you would have offered me in that moment $50 billion or that plate of bread, say, so without a doubt, I would have taken the plate of bread. Like, it would have been worthless to me. So he took the bread, he ate it. He said he never saw that person again the entire time. It's a malach, or maybe he was just killed the next day. Never saw that person again. And he said, from that moment, he said, I see if I'm willing to push myself, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to help me. Again, he's in a madriga that he can expect such things, I guess. And he says that he never ate treif again. He was a superhero of a person, and he did so many incredible things after the war, including being mishadech the parents of Rav Asher Weiss. There's a story that's told that after the war, they were burying the dead bodies around the camp. And, you know, you can imagine how difficult that is if anybody here has ever partaken in a kvura. Just filling the hole, one hole, with like 18 different people can get very tiring. So it was him and Rav Asher Weiss's father digging the holes, burying multiple people. And at some point, Rav Asher Weiss's father just wanted to give up. You know, it was too much. And he said, what bracha can I give you that you'll continue to dig? And he said, give me a bracha that, you know, my children should light up the world with Torah. He gave him that bracha, and, you know, he ended up having Rav Asher Weiss. He also knew his mother, he's mishadech them. Anyways, Rav Asher Weiss says he remembers as a child going to his shtiebel and watching the Kloisenberger Rebbe daven, and it was like a child talking to his parent. It was like a conversation, and he'd be crying at some points, and he'd be smiling at some points, and he would be saying these words in the middle, you know, Heilig Rabbi Shefer, Tati, and Himmel, Ribbono Shel Olam. He'd be adding these phrases, and I'm sure many in Yiddish I can't even say, like just talking to him. So is that allowed? So if Moshe finds you, we're not going to see it inside. You can take it home and look at it yourself. But in source number 9 over here, he asks this question. He says, "In bishvil kavanos mutter lomar bepeh belaz beemtzat tefillah." Can you start just adding things in? Again, not personal bakashas in the formulaic way the Mishnah Berurah spelled out for us. You start atah chonin ladon da'as, then you say your bakash. No, just talking. And Moshe says no. He says if you do it, you're not yotzi your tefillah. It's called a hefsik. It's not like a punishment. I'm not trying to be mean. It's just not tefillah. That's not Shmona Esrei. You did something else. Maybe he's voted us, but that wasn't Shmona Esrei. That wasn't what Chazal, Nevi'im, Anshei Knesset Zagadola, Ezra HaSofer, that's not what they decided you have to say. And therefore, you're not Yotze, says Rav Moshe Feinstein. If you turn the page, he says a person would have to repeat their Shmona Esrei if they do that. And there's no writing in the Kloisenberger Rebbe on this, but his Talmud, the Ungvar Rebbe, Rav Nash, a client source number 10, also happened to be my grandfather, our grandfather, Rav Shlomo Weinberger, Zichrono Levracha, he learned in his younger years in America, like 18, 19, 20, in the Beis Medrash Elyon of Torah Vadas. There are many incredible Talmidei Chachamim, or grew to be Gedoli Yisrael. Rav Moshe Wolfson was there, Rav Yitzchak Shiner, the Rosh Hashiva Kamenetz was there, and one of the people there was also the Ungvar Rav Menashe Klein. He wrote like 1,000 Shulas, Rav Menashe Klein. So here he says, just even interesting, if you look at the second paragraph there in the bold, like he spells it out, he says, Umeata ha'omer be'emsa hatila, ribayne da'ama, ha'ilag ba'shefer, vade de'inze be'chlamat be'a, ve'gam le'inyan hefzik, nira de'lov. Says there's no problem with doing that. And you could imagine maybe he's like coming to defend his Rebbe, the Kloisenberg Rebbe. It's like there's no problem with doing that. Why? He explains in the first paragraph, I'll just read the beginning. He says, Hine mevur b'shut harashba uvishar poskim de mishana matbein shetavu chachamim lo mikri ela ha-mishana be'ikr ha-bracha kegon shesayim baruch ha-dashem chonin la'amo Yisrael das v'chayotze bezeh. The inyan of changing the text in a problematic fashion, it's only if you actually change the actual bracha. Right, the middle of the brachos, he goes on to say, because you need to tell me there's nusach Sfar, there's nusach Ashkenaz, there's nusach Ari, there's other nuschos, so someone's wrong? No, like in the middle of the bracha, you have leeway there. There's flexibility there. For anybody who complains about nusach Sfar being hard to adapt to and different, totally get it. But the brachos themselves, every single bracha Shmona Esrei is exactly the same. There's not a single bracha in Nusach Sfard that's different than Nusach Ashkenaz. It's all, you know, Rofei Cholei Amo Yisrael, Shomei Atzvila. Okay, in the middle, of Harachaman and this, that. But the brachos themselves are the same. So he says, as long as you stick to the brachos themselves, there's no issue of Mishana Matzbeya. And he says, Vaharaya, every single Nusach has a different Nusach. So you mean to tell me one sect of Judaism is never Yotzei Shmona Esrei forever? It can't be, and therefore he says that it's allowed. He does conclude at the end. He's like, listen, you're playing with fire a little bit. Leave it to the Yechidei Skula. Leave it to the Kloisenberg Rebbes of the world to talk to God like that. And that real of a sense, maybe stick to the more formulaic approach. But nonetheless, he says it's not going to posture Shmona Esrei. So again, I think, you know, between the Kloisenberg Rebbe and Rav Moshe Feinstein, we're seeing a similar hashkafic debate here of how formulaic, how important is it to just stick to the text of the Siddur? Almost as a, are these just these magical words, you see these words and Hashem is there to answer? Or is it a little bit more about like, I just want to feel like I'm talking to my Father in Heaven, like the Kloisenberg Rebbe said, in seemingly, you know, two different approaches on that. The Kloisenberg Rebbe, I should point out, he was reminding a generation what he saw, what he witnessed, what he lived through, including losing most of his family, a generation who thought that God hated them, that God turned on them, or that God didn't exist, he was reminding them that, like, you know, you still have a Father in Heaven. And so maybe he said, all right, you know, Shulchan Aruch, we're not putting aside the Shulchan Aruch, but, like, you got to connect. You got to connect, and by any means necessary. Okay, last stage here is the final option. And again, I think this also bespeaks the deeper hashkafic point. If anybody's curious, this is what I do. This is what I do. I add in my personal bakashos to Elokai Netzur. So Shulchan Aruch says at the end, he makes one other caveat. He says, 11, Yesh mi she'omer shekishemosif ibracha letzorech yachid lo ya'arich. That when a person is adding in personal bakashos, you cannot go too long. Now, he doesn't say how long too long is. It's like you can't be too long. And Mishnah Berurah says, afil b'vircha shomei tefillah. Even in the middle of Shema Kolenu, you can't make it too long. And again, I think this is the same idea of Mishnah Berurah. You can't make that the ikar. You can't make your personal bakashos the ikar. The ikar, according to the Mishnah Berurah, has to be the actual text of the Shemona Esrei. So one way that you'd make it the ikar before, he said, is like if you open up each bracha with your personal request, that's making your bakasha the ikar. You can't do that. But another thing he's saying, okay, even if you put it in the middle, if you spend 17 minutes on your personal bakashos and 4 on the bakashos of Chazal, like that's off. You can't do it like that. So therefore, he says the Mishnah Berurah, Avala achar tzvila, but after davening, afilu kodem yihyu l'ratzon, mutar laharich b'chol gavni. You're allowed to add in as much as you want. And this is where the minhag to say it in Elokai Netzor before the Yihyu L'Ratzon 3 steps back comes in. And there's just like a little bit more flexibility. Like, wait, you're outside of the context of the Shmona Esrei. Right? Like, the brachos are over at this point. You're still before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but there's like a little bit more flexibility. And again, I think this like goes back to that main question. Like, you know, should we be saying all this in Shema Kolenu? How much is it about the Siddur versus, you know, your own personal bakashos? So personally, I put it here. Also, you know, given that sometimes people wait for me, it gives me an opportunity to like check, you know, I don't want to go on and on. I could always say more. So I see if, you know, people are still davening. All right, I could say more. In Shema Kolenu, it's harder to make that cheshbon. By the end of Elokai Netzor, I could already make a quick game time decision. So those are the three options. Like I said, they're all legitimate. They are all literally brought down in the Shulchan Aruch. The Ramah, the Mishnah Berurah, each and every one has a strong basis. I think each one has, you know, a benefit to it. But I think the underlying machlokas and discussion and all these shitos are like this balance, you know, to take the title of the shir, it's like when the name of the movie in the movie, it's balancing the sitter with the personal bakashos. I think that's what we're going for. Just an amazing ha'ara, and then we're going to conclude. Someone told me, another Rebbe told me yesterday after the shirim. I don't know if anybody else listened, but the Rebbe's listened, and the Gramazians are listening. So those are people listening. No, I think people are listening. So another Rebbe told me a great ha'ara. Yesterday's parsha, that Yosef, that Yaakov gives a bracha to Yosef, and refers to Becharbi uBekashti, that I use my cherev and my keshes, my sword and my arrow. And Unkelus there translates it as my tzloson uva'usam, what we said at the beginning. My cherev is my tzloson, is my tefillah, the text of Chazal, and my keshes, my bow and arrow, is my va'usan, my personal request. So he says, like a cherev, if you have to like kill someone with a cherev, I know it's like we're getting intense here, but like you're like right next to them. I'll use Donnie as an example. No, like it's just like, okay, you just like, you don't really know what you're doing, but it's like not that complicated to like stab somebody with a knife. Like you're right there. A keshes, a bow and arrow, I actually tried archery once. Terrible. Regesh, that was the worst, right? I was good at sports. I wasn't an archery kid. So like, I don't know, you gotta like, it's a little bit more like you're slinging your arrow up, like you hope it hits somebody. So your cherev, like you use the words of Chazal, like there's a gap, like Ezra Sofer signed off on that. Like, you're good. You know, your own personal bakashas, it's a little bit like, you know, you're throwing it up there and like you're hoping it's going to stick, you're hoping it's going to hit, but there's like a little bit less. The value is that you connect more with it, but let's not mistake it for, as you know, being on the same pedestal in that sense as the chera value of the tefillah. Just to conclude, an amazing idea from the Sefer Hasidim. So there's one final halacha of the Mishnah Berurah, you can see it inside yourself. Source number 13 says that if you have a chazan who has a speech impediment, you should not put him up to being a chazan. And the Sefer Hasidim gives different examples, like there used to be this Kohen who couldn't pronounce reishes. He said dalet instead of reish. And it ended up being, he gets up there, yivarecha Hashem v'yishmerecha. You know, Hashem should give you shmira, protection. And he would say v'yishmedecha, shmad. Hashem should destroy you. It's like crazy. Or nafshenu chiksa laHashem, lechakos, to wait, to anticipate, to want. My soul yearns for God. He would say with a hey. That's more understandable, you know, like Hanukkah instead of Hanukkah. Like he would say hey instead of ches. So nafshenu chiksa laHashem, like hika, makos. My soul strikes God. People end up saying crazy things. You can't put them up there as a chazan. It's going to be distracting. It's going to, that such a person can't be a chazan. Says the Sefer Hasidim though. Says don't think for a second that this person's feelings are not heard by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they're not understood by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and whatever he's trying to convey is not fully accepted by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I heard this from Rav Daniel Stein from the Ridniker, our grandfather shul, and an amazing understanding of this. A mashal, he's like, it's like a mother. You know, you have these like 2-year-old kids who are babbling. And they're, you know, they're saying things and nobody understands what they're saying. Like the mother, you know, a lot of times they're probably making it up, like oh, like he says he doesn't want to go to his doctor's appointment. Like, nah, he didn't say that. But sometimes, like, oh, kaka, kaka, like, oh, he's saying cookie. And a mother actually understands exactly what her 2-year-old is saying. And she's like the only one who gets him. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he understands as like a father, like a mother, understanding their children, that even when we maybe can't express ourselves in the most perfect, halakhic, appropriate way, or we can't speak well, or we mess up some of the words, whatever the case might be, Hashem understands us like a mother understands her little toddler. As long as it comes out from the heart, to close, to mamish close, like the words of the Chazon Ish and the Igeres of Chazon Ish, v'yesh lehispala v'chol nusach uvilvad sheyatza min alei. The person can daven in any language so long as it comes from the heart. And I think certainly in our generation, I speak for myself, but as difficult as it is to connect to tefillah 3 times a day, the same thing over and over, it's almost imperative. It's almost absolutely essential. Like I told my student who wanted to daven for his basley, and I'm just like excited you want to daven. Like to just want to daven, to want to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I remember when I was a shtili in Morasha, like weird memories. I have weird memories from things from back in the day, and I was feeling very homesick on like the first day, and I really, really remember I just like wanted to daven. Like I wanted mincha. I was probably the only kid in Morasha who wanted to go to mincha. So like, I thought to myself, like, oh, I could like daven to Hashem and Shema Kolina, that like, you know, he'll make things a little bit better. But that should be our attitude. That should be like halavai. Halavai, that should be the attitude, like the Yaris Midvash. Yaris Tavash, I keep saying Midvash. That's the Iker HaTzvilah for a person to want to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I think certainly one lesson to not minimize the value of the sitter. I said before, and I mean it, it's a shir in its own right, why it's so, so essential, so important to have a sitter, to have that guiding light to help us connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, an invisible, unseeable, unknowable God. Not unknowable, unseeable God. But to also make sure that we have the Ikra Kavana through our personal bakashas. Okay.